Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we're up for our Week 11 primer here. So this is your review of injuries, of some of the game lines, some situations to watch for here over the weekend. So I think the big story here in terms of quarterback position, you're obviously waiting on Kyler Murray. That's a big deal in terms of his availability. Limited practices on Wednesday and Thursday. By way of reference, I'm recording this Friday, just after noon. So if there's any changes or anything, look for anything after that. But this will have you covered up until about Friday at noon. I don't have any Friday practice reports. But those are so we've got Wednesday and Thursday, which give us, I think, a lot of indication on these guys this week. All right, so Kyler limited, Colt McCoy limited. So Colt McCoy dealing with the pectoral, Kyler dealing with the ankle. I suspect Kyler's going to play based on all the reports, and that would be sort of my inclination. I know we talked about Chris Streveler earlier on in the week being maybe a potential, hey, deeper league, you need to make an add, something like that, at quarterback. I think you can cut him now. So that would be my position on him. And then you either playing McCoy or Murray. Looks like I think it's going to probably be Murray, is by all indications. Lamar Jackson has DNP'd the first 2 days of the week. It's with a non-COVID related illness. And if memory serves, he actually did this earlier on in the season where he missed a couple of days with a non-COVID illness. I suspect that he'll be a participant on Friday and play. Otherwise, if he's not, Tyler Huntley would be a potential backup guy. But I think all the indications are Lamar is going to play. So I think that should be okay. Baker, DNP limited on Wednesday and Thursday, respectively, there. He looks like he is going to be ready to go. He's toughing this thing out. I wonder if there'll be a point where they shut him down eventually, but it doesn't look like it at present. Looks like they're going to keep going with him. He's really banged up. 2 DNPs for Jared Goff. I do think if you're looking for a guy this week, Tim Boyle might make some sense for Detroit. He could draw a potential spot start. This was a quarterback that the team was very excited about coming into the season. There was some, I'd say, like July-ish type like residue stories coming out about him. I covered them for Football Guys, so I kind of watched a whole bunch of their media, but there was basically the beginning of the season reviews, if you will, or the beginning of the preseason, basically the landscape articles is what I would say. Like, hey, here's sort of what the position battles look like, or initial first practices, like we're on the watch for, what's the breakdown between these guys or whatever. Like, there was this small but like consistent, like, hey, Tim Boyle, like, don't rule out the chance that he competes for a starting job. That didn't go according to plan, right? He didn't really compete. He ends up getting hurt, but now he's back. I don't think that just comes out of nowhere, and so I do think there's probably something to that. And you have gotten Jared Goff not playing well, so. With Boyle, I mean, I don't think that there's a whole lot there in terms of like long-term starter, but was the backup in Green Bay, and officially interesting here. If you're 2 quarterback deeper, super flex, something like that, if we're referring to like safe leagues or something like that, I'm probably not rostering him outside of an extreme situation. But something deeper than that, so 35, something in that range, he, I think, warrants an addition on the roster. Rodgers has DNP'd the past 2 practices with a toe injury, so I would expect him to play, but that's a situation to watch for as well. Limited full for Tua, so he should be good to go. Couple of DNPs for Taysom Hill to start, and that is with a foot injury. I think that he will probably play, but again, we're still looking at him in more that gadget type role instead of the Trevor Siemian quarterback centric role. So I'm actually pretty excited for Trevor Siemian so far on his start. I think there's a non-zero chance that he's a 2022 starter. Zach Wilson, last but not least, back to some limited practice, but not going to play. This week it is going to be Joe Flacco instead. So the Mike White experience, kind of like at least it lasted longer than the Antonio Brown in Buffalo experience, which was riveting if you were awake at that time of night. Okay, the running back position. We're on the watch for Latavius Murray returning with Dakota Le'Veon Bell. You can float him back out. I think that's fine to cut him. Latavius and Devontae Freeman should form a pretty good 1-2 punch there. That's pretty, maybe not pretty good is not the right word for it. The better word for it is pretty consolidated. So I think it'll be consolidated between those two guys. Makes Bell expendable. Keep going here. A couple full practices for Zeke, so he should be good to go. DMPs for Jamar Jefferson both days. Notably, limited practices for Jamal Williams on Wednesday and Thursday, so hopefully he's back. If you picked up Godwin Igwabuki, like I think your Sunday time span of, you know, when you're putting together your lineups, your rosters, and all that stuff, like that's going to be a time where if Jamal Williams is playing, you could probably cut him. I would suspect if we get like a full practice on Friday from him, I would suspect that he's going to give it a go. You could probably cut Godwin Igwabuki outside of 40 man, something like that. But he's certainly a name to just, I think, not necessarily speed dial, but put in your Rolodex of injury away guys. Aaron Jones is doubtful. DMP is both games. So again, this is an AJ Dillon game. Hopefully a couple weeks of an AJ Dillon game. We're fully on Aaron Jones IR watch. I suspect it probably won't happen, even if it's like close, because then they can't practice him really until that 3 weeks is up. So that's that. I would suspect that he's not going to go on it if they think that he can return at 3 weeks, or maybe even 4 weeks. Carlos Hyde, couple limiteds. DMP limited for James Robinson. So I suspect James Robinson's just going to keep gutting out this. He's dealing with like a heel injury of some sort. So I suspect that he'll continue to just gut that out. Couple of limiteds for Josh Jacobs. He should be good to go. Obviously, Damian Harris was on this list but played on Thursday night. Alvin Kamara, I think, is probably the big one. Regression guys. There's actually a couple of regression guys, the guys that have gone backwards this week. So Alvin Kamara went limited DNP with his knee injury. Alex Collins went limited DNP with the groin injury. So I think both of those are potentially watch situations. I do know that Seattle has gone like limited DNP full or limited DNP limited. They have a little bit of a, I don't know if atypical is the right word, but a little bit of a different approach to some of these at times. I think maybe DK Metcalf showed up with one like that earlier on in the season. So I'm not super alarmed about the Alex Collins DNP on Thursday, but just keep an eye on that for Friday's practice report. Travis Homer, I think, would be the guy to potentially come in there. Maybe Penny as well. But Penny's really gotten sort of put to the bench the last couple of weeks. I think Travis Homer's interesting. And, you know, I don't have a good feel on who would be the Alex Collins role. It's been Homer that's been playing ahead of Penny in the committee. But I think that might be a little bit more segmented. So it probably is a Penny situation. But I think that hopefully we'll get some clarity on Alex Collins over the weekend, and hopefully it's good news. A couple of DNPs for San Francisco, Jamichael Hasty and Elijah Mitchell, both DNPs, so watch for Jeff Wilson. Maybe it's a Trey Sermon situation as well. Mitchell with a finger, he had surgery to fix that, so we'll see there how that unfolds. A couple of limiteds for Antonio Gibson with his shin injury, and then Jeremy McNichols with a concussion, a couple of DMPs here. So he's a watch for Thursday, for Friday, about his status as a practice participant, potentially getting cleared for any game this weekend. Turning next to the wide receiver position, and we've got DeAndre Hopkins, two DMPs to start the week. Concern there is with a bye upcoming, maybe they just let him. This would be basically a full month, essentially. I think he's been out. This would be the third game he's missed. And then a bye. So you get basically a full month of recovery for a stretcher on a team that is looking to win a Super Bowl. Seems to make a lot of sense there. So be watching for potentially Hopkins to miss this week. Rashad Bateman, DNP with an illness, so that's something to monitor. A couple of DNPs with a thigh injury for Marquise Brown. And I'll be interested to see sort of what his practice report is Friday and into the weekend about whether or not he's going to be able to play. Cole Beasley is a participant on Thursday, limited DNP on Wednesday, so hopeful there for him. His teammate, Emmanuel Sanders, DNP, non-injury related, so just a veteran rest day on Thursday. Should be ready to rock and roll. A couple of DNPs for Allen Robinson, as much as he's probably not helped us in lineups, trending in the wrong direction this week, so he'll be a watch there with his hamstring. Jarvis Landry, DNP limited Wednesday, Thursday, so trending in the right direction. Limited DNP for Donovan Peoples-Jones, so firmly up in the air there with his status. And then Anthony Schwartz, DNP with concussion. So maybe Rashad Higgins if you need a guy potentially this week to be a fill-in. He's been disappointing so far this season, but he's a guy that could potentially be valuable if depending on how that situation sorts itself out. Devontae Adams, full participant on Thursday, so that's positive news. Alan Lazard, DNP, Wednesday, Thursday, so we'll monitor that one. Limited participant on Thursday for Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and he's probably not necessarily in lineups, but one to watch for there deeper down the line. He goes regular participant Wednesday and limited on Thursday. So I'm not sure if that popped up, maybe fall or something like that. We're not going to speculate, but just watch for that situation as the week goes on. Ty Montgomery, a couple of DNPs, not that you're necessarily worried about that. He's probably not near your lineup. Sterling Shepard pops up with a DNP on Thursday, so we're going to watch for that one throughout the rest of the weekend. They go on Monday night, so not the Thursday, missing Thursday isn't that big of a deal. Devonta Smith, full participant, so good to go there. A couple of limiteds for Chase Claypool, so he's on his way back. That'll be good. He's dealing with a toe injury. Debo, couple of limiteds. He should be good to go. AB, still not practicing with that ankle injury, so we need to see him practice. I think really get in there probably on like a Wednesday before we feel good about him. So this game being on a Monday night, this would be his Wednesday, so don't feel great about his trajectory for the week. Terry McLaurin, limited, full participant, so he's good to go. And Curtis Samuel, still out, doubtful, two missed practices with his groin injury. Look into the tight end position. Hope to get Gronkowski back in full effect here as the season goes along. You know, that'll be one that is, I think, a big deal. Hayden Hurst missed this past game. DNP. So off the snap reaction then. But Lee Smith could be an interesting guy in, like, deeper two tight end leagues, stuff like that. Jimmy Graham should be good to go for Chicago, which, again, just – it kind of gets in the way of some of the other guys more than really being productive on his own. Jack Doyle, full participant, then limited on Thursday. So watch that situation. I know he could be potentially out there as like a flex desperation guy in like some premium leagues. So watch him. And then Dallas Goedert just got paid as well. So he had a concussion, went DNP limited Wednesday, Thursday, then signed the big deal. So that's good trajectory to your week. Don't practice, you limited practice, sign a 30 plus million guaranteed contract, and head out there and play on Sunday. Not bad. Gronkowski, full participant on Thursday as well, so I know we mentioned, you know, he's up in the air. He's a full participant. I don't think I mentioned that from the jump. All right, now we'll take a look at some of the positive matchups for the week here. We've got at the quarterback position, we've got Carolina as a positive matchup here, getting the best matchup of the week against Washington. Washington absolutely giving it up to opposing passing offenses, and they've got Chase Young injured. It's a Cam Newton potential spot start situation. I'm not probably comfortable with it, so it would have to be a very desperation play for me this week to go that route. But maybe you go Maybe that's a better indication for something like DJ Moore, for example. I would be hard pressed to put Cam Newton in my lineup this week, but DJ Moore I might feel a little bit more comfortable with. Tennessee against Houston. That is good for your shares of Ryan Tannehill. Again, then you got AJ Brown, Julio out. So it's a couple consolidated spots there. New England against Atlanta was last night. Las Vegas against Cincinnati. You know, so that is a potential spot start, or really a potential, probably more super flex start for Derek Carr. It's a pretty high total. It's actually gone up as well. So it's at 50.5. It started at 48.5. So it's moving at present time as I'm recording this, appears to be the second highest line of the week. And they are a small home underdog. Cincinnati is a 1-point favorite. So that's a good team total for both sides. The other one is the Giants against Tampa. Getting yourself sorted out with a Daniel Jones start there could be interesting. Jacksonville has San Francisco as well. Miami against the Jets. Not a great situation to start Tua. Chicago plays Baltimore. That is a pretty good spot for Fields as well, even though that's typically thought of as a bad matchup. It's a pretty decent matchup for a quarterback. Plus 2 points over the rest of the season so far this year. So that's good there. The negative matchups, I'm not going to mention all these. So if I don't mention one, it's a pretty neutral matchup. The worst matchup of the week is Washington. So that is a Tyler Heinicke cautionary tale type situation. Atlanta was Thursday night. You got the Colts facing the Bills, which is a... is that a product of the Bills' schedule, or is it a product of the Bills' defense being really good? That is a storyline that we're going to continue monitoring. Pittsburgh is facing the Chargers, and Chargers have been about 4 points better than opposing teams have faced throughout the rest of their schedule. So good pass defense there against quarterbacks. New Orleans playing Philly, similarly a good pass defense there for Philly. So New Orleans with Trevor Siemian and not a whole lot of other options there. It's going to be interesting to watch game for sure. More so because it's going to feel like a rock fight at times, I would suspect. Minnesota is facing Green Bay, who's been pretty good against the pass as well there. It's like the fifth worst matchup of the week. And then Seattle and Arizona is the other bad one. So we'll see there. There's a lot of questions there with Russ getting ready. I'd feel better about Russ probably in as my quarterback two type situation than I would in a quarterback one type situation. But it's probably not much you can do about it at this point, would sort of be my hunch, my inclination. All right, some of the best running back spots. There's some good ones this week. Miami is actually a 3-point road favorite against the Jets. It's the best run matchup of the week. Jets give up about 14 points more per game than their opponents score against other opponents. So pretty solid matchup there. The next best matchup is 8.1. To the positives, you're looking at almost a touchdown better per game if you were to think of it that way. Arizona, good matchup against Seattle, so that's a prime spot for James Conner. And then it's just sort of go into it. It's interesting because James Conner then bye, and then two tougher matchups against Chicago and the Rams. Not that we would know it after last week. And then they get Detroit in week 15 as you sort of head into the playoffs there. But a mixed bag of matchups here for James Conner coming down the stretch. Cleveland with a plum matchup against Detroit this week. They're a home 10-point favorite. It's up to 12, 11.5 in some spots. So that's trending in a good direction for them. Nick Chubb is back, cleared the protocol. Again, I would suspect between 45-60% of snaps for him. And I think Dearness Johnson could be relevant as well as they sort of get Chubb phase back in. I don't think they're just going to go full on one running back. That's something they have shown an unwillingness to do. So I would expect that they not do that again this week. New England, we saw on Thursday night, so we know that one. Cincinnati against Vegas. Again, that game keeps popping up. Positive matchup there for Joe Mixon. Vegas against Cincinnati, so positive matchup for Josh Jacobs. This is going to be a score some points type of game with a little luck. Tampa has a good matchup against facing the Giants as well. It's like the sixth best matchup of the week, seventh. Sixth that has not occurred yet. Pittsburgh against the Chargers, who have given up a ton of rushing yards on the season. All right, some of the rougher matchups here for the running backs. Washington's in a tough spot against Carolina. So, again, with some of the limitations of Gibson, he's probably still in your lineup if you have multiple flex spots, but you could see potentially playing some other guys this week. You know, as you put together some of your lineup situations. If you've got like A.J. Dillon, for example, is probably going over him. Right. So as you look around, like some of what would have otherwise thought of as guaranteed spots where you would start him coming into the season, this is now a spot where maybe not necessarily so much. Philly against New Orleans. New Orleans, really good run defense, which is going to test Philly being a really run heavy team right now. Miles Sanders is trending back as well, so he's a situation we're going to watch. He's coming back from IR, so I'll have to watch that if he's activated on Saturday. Buffalo with a tough matchup against Indy. They don't really care. The Chargers are facing Pittsburgh, who that's the fourth toughest run matchup of the week. So Eckler doesn't really get it in ways it's going to hurt too much. The interesting part about these is these matchups this week, there's not a ton of guys that you feel like at the extreme ends on the downside anyways that you feel really super hurt by. Maybe Gibson, but Gibson hasn't really been super helpful anyways. All right, Houston is facing Tennessee. That's the fifth toughest matchup of the week. Again, I'm not sure who you think is going to start there, but it's probably an avoid situation. Burkhead, Lindsey, I don't know, David Johnson. I don't feel good about any of it. I would like to see Houston get a win here. It'd be nice to see Tennessee get put in their place, but it is a this is a 10-point home favorite for Houston, so I'm not feeling super optimistic about that. Indy has a tough matchup against Buffalo. You're still starting Jonathan Taylor. Dalvin Cook is a tough matchup against Green Bay. You're still starting Dalvin Cook, but maybe not feeling quite as great about it. He's performed much more like running back two range than he has the running back one. So that's a notable development on the season. And then Dallas with Kansas City. Kansas City's given it up less worse than you would think. Maybe some of it's just that they've given so much of it up in the passing game that teams just aren't attacking them there. All right, looking at the wide receiver position, and you've got Philly. It's a good matchup against New Orleans, which is interesting given what some of the stuff that New Orleans has done on the ground. They're giving it up through the air. Some of that's probably volume-related. These things can tend to compound themselves a little bit. Oh, this team gets the label of being a good team against the rush, but ultimately, like, to just self-fulfilling prophecy. It's a little bit like Tampa has been. So the Saints have given it up. Maybe that's a little bit more volume related than anything. Carolina, again, with a good matchup against Washington. We talked about that in the quarterback spot. That's a good spot for DJ Moore, maybe a desperation Robbie Anderson, but more desperation than anything. The Giants against Tampa, that game could be a shootout, which would be pretty interesting to watch there. And Tampa's secondary is really struggling so far, so that's a spot to watch. Green Bay, be able to attack Minnesota through the air, fourth best matchup against wide receivers. Vegas, Cincy again, right? That's a game that keeps popping up in terms of maybe it'll go over. That would be kind of nice. Stack time for your DFS lineups. Houston has a favorable matchup against Tennessee as well. How do they exploit that? Brandon Cooks, gimme. The Chargers, it's a favorable matchup against Pittsburgh as well. And then everyone else is kind of like middling there. Baltimore is positive against Chicago. Miami against the Jets. And then it gets kind of middling. The tougher matchups here on the receiver side, New Orleans, Washington, Minnesota, and Pittsburgh all face tougher, pretty significantly tougher matchups than than average. So that's some concern there. Pittsburgh, what will the situation be? I don't trust the Pittsburgh passing offense much at all. And now we've got the situation where Roethlisberger's out. And on top of that, they've got a tough matchup. I don't really like much of it. So concerning spot there. I think I mentioned Atlanta. Of course, they played on Thursday night. You've got Minnesota. I'm probably still playing the guys. Right? I'm still playing Jefferson. I'm still playing Thielen. Washington, probably still going to play McLaurin. And then New Orleans, not a ton of great options there to ultimately play. All right, the tight end position here. And it will be a it's Tennessee's up there at the top. Maybe it's a Jeff Swaim game. I don't know. I don't have a ton of confidence in that situation. I'll say one person that I do find interesting is Adam Trautman. It's a good matchup against Philly with New Orleans there. So if you need a streamer type, he's one that's of interest. Vegas is a good matchup against tight ends. So maybe that's a CJ Uzama game. Chicago has a good matchup against Baltimore. So Cole Kmet. Buffalo has a good matchup against Indy as well for tight ends. That could be a Dawson Knox return to high-end production off of his injury there earlier in the season. Would be good to see. Hopeful for that as to get some second-half production out of the season from him. Seattle's a tough matchup against Arizona. I'm not sure how you would necessarily exploit that. Green Bay is against Minnesota as well. Not sure how you'd exploit that situation. Anyways, it's ambiguous, and you're probably not going to worry too much about it because they're both bad matchups. Indy against Buffalo, like a Jack Doyle, it's not a great matchup there. Baltimore against Chicago, you're not taking Mark Andrews out of your lineup. Houston, it's not a Jordan Akins or Jordan Akins week, I guess. That's not, probably not what's on the radar. And then Detroit has a little bit to the negative matchup against Cleveland, but not super, super worried about it. I'm playing Hockenson. I've been trying to buy Hockenson, so if that gives you an idea of where I'm leaning, I think he's probably undervalued. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Good luck in your week 11s. If there's more content or something needed over the weekend, I will do it. But as of right now, it looks like it's pretty under control, which means all hell will break loose. So until then, or until Sunday night, keep embracing the variants. We'll talk again very soon.